It's me. Ooh-wee. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of the gritty grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. Amigity America, God shed his grace on thee, and crowned thy good with a motherfucking hood from sea to shining sea.
Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet who stern in passion stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law.
Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country love and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that seems beyond the stars. Thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. Amigity America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy girl with motherfucking hoods from sea to shining sea. Yes, yes, y'all, you don't stop. It's the July 3rd episode of NPR. One more day to the July 4th. You don't stop, jiggity jig jig, rock stop. Anyway, my name is Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. Nestorius. I'm your host, Nestorius Public Radio. That's my man right there, Mike 2, Simon Kaufman.
Mike 2. That's right, y'all. This is the 4th of July episode. We got the 4th coming up this weekend. We want to tell everybody, all our listeners out there, make sure to be safe out there as you're out there celebrating freedom. Just remember, the police are going to be out there violating your rights at every turn. So please be safe from the police this weekend.
Yeah, and that's my man on Mike 4.
What's up, everybody?
Mike 3.
Likewise, man. Be safe out there. Be safe. Have your barbecue. Drink your brew. But, you know, take
do what
a
you
cab.
Do.
Take an Uber, motherfucker.
Yo. Drink your brew. Do the electric boogaloo. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, take an Uber to Vancouver.
Shoes. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's we're live here Thursday night, Skid Row Studios. If you are at home and you haven't any refrigerated goods, but you have internet access, you know what you're doing. You're tuned in live and direct to the Nestorius Public Radio Show. If you're so inclined, the number to call is 1-800-893-9562. We are live 9 to 10 p.m. every Thursday night, Pacific Standard Time, and midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for you New York City hookers. Yeah, man. So it is the 4th of July, and I thought that, you know, we'd discuss some, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness type, you know, issues. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I came upon this article, which was bizarre because we're doing, you know, Simon mentioned to me about the Supreme Court ruling about granting private for-profit companies, corporations, to have the right to not give birth control as a medical insurance under the Religious Rights Acts. So I was like, yeah, that's a good article. That's a good thing to do. And as I was doing research, I saw this dude, this guy from New York, Gilberto Valle, or Valle, as all the Blanquitos all over the land have been calling
Valley,
him.
Valley, dude.
Valley. And you know his name is Valle, right?
Let's try some habanero.
So this dude is from New York, New York City Police officer, NYPD Blue. And apparently, as the story went, he was married and his wife got pregnant and he started becoming a little aloof within the relationship. He didn't want to, like, have sex with her and all this other stuff. And his wife, of course, started feeling a little self-conscious. Maybe she thought it was her, if she became more pretty, whatever, whatever. the interesting thing is that they shared internet account, I guess, so they have the same password. And so she noticed that he was spending a lot of time on the computer. And one day she started noticing that the history browser was being deleted or emptied. And then one day...
Yeah, if your history browser is deleted, something's going on, because there should be some history, you know? Like, if you go on and, like, your girlfriend or your boyfriend and you click on the internet and there's no history in the browser, somebody's watching some porn.
Yeah, or hiding something from you. Anyway, so she discovered this website, this, like, extreme fetish website, and then came upon, I think he wrote a short story or some shit about murdering his wife, cooking her, and then eating her.
Well, so he was in these chat rooms.
He was in these chat rooms, these fetish chat rooms, which, listen... prior to our show every Thursday night, we have the Dark Mark Show, and they do all sorts of wacky stuff. But there, a lot of the guests on his show are professional S&M and fetish people. You know what I mean? And there's a fine line between fantasy, fetish, and reality, and that's what I thought we discussed with this guy, because what happened was his wife contacted the authorities, and they basically took his computer. And they started, looking at his history and stuff like that. And they found him. They found another dude in England and somebody else that were supposedly, you know, involved in this masterminded scheme to, you know, murder women, boil them, you know, like and roast them like a turkey, and then eat them, you know, a la.
Now this is a cop, by the way. This is a New York police officer.
Yeah.
He's there to serve and protect.
What was that dude's name that Anthony Hopkins played?
Hannibal Lecter.
A la Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter, cook your wife, make a nice kale salad on the side.
Get drunk, cook your wife, you know what I'm saying?
With some fun.
Eliminate the strife that you got in the relationship, you know what I'm saying? Put an end to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Forget divorce lawyers, forget proceedings, man, you know.
Families to eat each other.
Stay together.
Stay together.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Literally.
Well, the what he was on was called the Dark Fetish Network.
Right.
And there was several other sites.
Did you go on that site?
No, fuck no. Are you kidding me?
Let's go on that site.
Fuck no.
I'm a member.
Go ahead.
What, I need the FBI tracking me? Like I'm gonna eat people? The point is, you know, here's the question that we're talking about and we're about to be discussing.
Well, before you get there, and you can go on to your question and all that stuff. What happened was... the authorities got the computer and they prosecuted him, and they found him guilty of conspiracy. This is really the crime, the conspiracy, because I guess there's a fine line between fetish, fantasy, and reality. And, I guess under the First Amendment right, you know, you can think whatever you want, right? You're protected against, your thoughts are protected, and fantasy is protected. And whatever you write in a computer is protected, right? But then the law says, well, there was something that he did that stepped over the line from fantasy into reality. And as we'll go on, we'll discuss what it was. But basically, they tried him and they found him guilty and they gave him life. In March. Mm-hmm. So they gave this dude a life in prison for something that he fantasized about doing, which, you know, taking the insanity and the severity of his fantasies aside, you really have to ask yourself, are you going to now be tried, a la George Orwell and, Doublethink and Double Speech for what you think and what you say? Because that's really where...
a little Minority Report thing going
or
on.
Or Minority Report. That's really where we need to be mindful of as we move forward into, you know, this, you know, Google, Facebook, you know, electronic internet media computer running your whole life situation. But go ahead, Simon, you were saying something before I...
Well, no, I think you summed it up. I mean, the question is, if a person's on a chat room talking about wanting to murder someone or talking about wanting to rape women or, you know, is where is somebody viable? Can somebody be tried in a court of law for what they type on a chat room if they haven't done it? Where does the law start? Where does the law end? Meaning, do you have to actually commit a crime to be charged and be put in jail for life? Or is the fact that you say you want to enough?
Well, this is what happens, right? So he has this mastermind to do this fantasy, right? It's in chat rooms. By the way, there are chat rooms and there are fantasies and fetish where women fantasize about being raped. There's actual realistic rape play. That's not something that's made up. People have these fantasies.
But that's role playing.
Well, role play, right? But I'm saying within fantasy, right?
But she knows that's going to happen.
Right. She knows that's going to happen. Correct. But you know, you can take this in a court of law and say, well, let's not move that far ahead. So basically, the one thing that the law, the prosecutors deemed where this was from fantasy to conspiracy, and that his real life actions or real life picture of this guy falls into place and that he could be dangerous, is that he took a trip to Maryland. One of the women that he planned supposedly of, you know, killing and then cooking and then eating was, I believe, a high school or college friend of his, and she lived in Maryland. So the reality is that he went to Maryland to, you know, have a vacation, quote unquote. His wife and his kid went with him, and nothing happened. You know what I mean? But this is one thing that they found, that this woman in Maryland was one of the, again, quote unquote, victims or proposed victims that he was planning on. So the law said, well, he did take this one step in reality as opposed to fantasy.
He took a few steps in reality.
He took a few steps in reality. What were the few steps?
Well, he looked up people's addresses using...
Well, okay, that's one of the things.
Being a cop. And here's the thing. If, I mean, he was doing some of the legwork that it would take to carry this out. It's right. Not like he's gathering supplies and all that, but he did search how to make chloroform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is used to...
He didn't have any of the supplies.
To knock out...
He started to...
Victims.
Exactly. So he started to...
Let's go back there. So prosecutors had argued that Valle took steps to carry out his plot, including looking up potential targets on a restricted law enforcement database. That's the actual crime that he did, the actual reality. That's the real crime he did. Because let's face it, going to Maryland on a vacation, quote unquote, with his wife and kid is not a crime, right?
He didn't tie up the woman.
He didn't tell her he was going to kill her.
Had that been somebody that maybe cut him off when he was off duty and pissed him off and he wanted to find out who they are, you know, and tell the rest.
Had that person in Maryland, you mean?
No, had the person that he looked up in the database.
Mm-hmm.
Had that been somebody not associated with any of this, then that would have been one. That would have been another thing. But he actually used resources of his job that not many people have access to.
That's
against somebody else, I think it would be different. So
right.
I think that, you know, maybe the jury saw that as him taking preliminary steps to do something like that. And I think that with a lot of the Columbine and all of these gun shootings and all that, if we could have just gotten to them sooner. So I think that might have been weighing heavy on them
right.
a little bit.
Right.
And as if you don't want to be the jury that lets this guy go free and then he fucking goes nuts 5 years later.
Well, in a lot of these chat rooms and fetish sites or whatever, he basically always said this is fantasy this is not real, for the exception of two circumstances where he did say it was real. So the fact that he said it was for real, that's evidence, or the jury took that as evidence that this was a real conspiracy, right? Because there has to be an element of, you have to cross the line between fantasy into reality for the law enforcement and the prosecution to say it is officially a conspiracy, right? To commit murder or commit any of this stuff. So something he really meant to do. Then the prosecution needed to show that he actually did something. There was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy that was the second part of the case against them, which was him going to Maryland, right? And he also sent PBA cards and police union cards to different women that he talked about kidnapping. And he did a whole bunch of Google searches of various methods for abducting women.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about thoughts. The concept is, can somebody be tried for his thoughts? But once you voice them and once you act on them, they're no longer thoughts.
Right, it's but he, like didn't, he didn't act on any of them.
He voiced them.
He started to. Here's the thing.
Once they leave your mouth or they leave your keyboard, they're no longer thoughts.
You can leave your mouth, but here's the thing. He should have left it on that site, but he also communicated with these people outside of that site.
Right.
That site is the sort of the protected space.
It's about the database.
So the fetish site.
Oh, the fetish site, okay.
The fetish site is there for people to talk about their shit. But see, he started emailing these people outside of that, okay?
Right.
And that's in real world. If you're on a site and that's in your imaginary world, it's like playing D&D. If you're in your basement playing D&D, that's great. But then if you come out of your basement and whacking people, you know, or start like walking behind somebody with an axe pretending to fucking hit them, who knows? Maybe you will snap or whatever. But if you start doing that outside.
This kind of comes down to two questions. Right. One, did he really mean to carry out these plots? Were they just fantasies? So that was the defense's first argument. This is just a fantasy. And then the second one, I guess even if it was really a plot, did he take any real world actions? And it sort of comes down to what you think is a real world action. That's what we're talking about here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the discussions were so disturbing. The fantasies, I mean, even in the 21 out of 24, remember I said most of those things, he said they were fantasies, but on two occasions he said that they were real, right? The fantasies are so upsetting, so violent, and, you know, hateful that it's just hard to get past that. And so you find that so scary and think this is a dangerous, dangerous man, then everything that he did in real life takes on this really ominous, you know, color to it. And this trip to Maryland, which you could see as a visit to old college friends, could seem like, you know, a sort of recon mission for a murderous kidnapping plot.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, too, if you're fantasizing about murdering women and eating them and cooking them and torturing them...
Uh-huh.
You're already fucked up.
Yeah. And you're carrying a gun. You're running around carrying a fucking gun.
But he's an NYPD officer.
Well,
you know
course.
What that means?
No one normal would do this.
Well, you know what he did? Right. No one normal.
No normal person would do this. You have to be a cop.
Yeah, but
Only a cop or a fucking Supreme Court justice would do something like this.
They go through crazy psychological evaluations, right?
Well, it's not working because the people, you know, some of the cops that people, you know, some of the horror stories and stuff that people talk about getting pulled over by cops and some of the shit, the power trip shit that they do,
right.
They're human beings. I don't care how many psychological evaluations and tests and all of that they have to jump through.
Right.
They're still human beings and caught up in the heat of the moment. They're going to react differently.
They're not going to
react the same way.
Okay. One of the people he was communicating with was a police chief in Massachusetts.
Of course. They pose online or whatever.
Who else is going to be fantasized about gross shit other than a priest?
Or another cop.
Or a cop. Right. Or a government official.
Or a politician. Yeah.
Somebody in a position of power
that has some kind of an A-type personality.
But here's the thing. How do our online searches become evidence? And when we browse online as private, does this actually mean private? Or do companies like Google still track your web history, therefore ending up in court cases such as this, right? So Google and Facebook are required to respond to valid subpoenas. And a subpoena can be issued with nothing more than reasonable suspicion that the evidence is relevant to a legitimate investigation. Right? So another way that the evidence can come in is if the police come upon it in the course of another search, right? And there was an incredibly important, really one of the most important computer search cases involving pornography decided just last week. Check this. By the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, right? And that was a case where a guy set off an alert when he was crossing the Mexican border because he had been convicted of a sex offense before, right? So this guy is a known sexual predator and he's on the national sex offender list, right? So, and that combined with the fact that he was going to Mexico, which is supposed to be a place where people do sex trafficking, right? That's a big thing there, led the border agents to take his computer, open it up, and then take it 180 miles away from the border and do forensic search of it for 5 days. And they found, in fact, he did have a huge amount of child pornography. So the Ninth Circuit basically said you can't do broad computer searches without some degree of reasonable suspicion that someone is guilty of a crime to begin with.
Or a warrant. From now, you need a warrant.
Right. Well, that
even
was
on your phone.
That's a watershed holding because other courts have said you can open up a computer and look at everything even without reasonable suspicion. Right. Then there was the dispute about whether the fact that he had this previous sex conviction and was going to Mexico was enough to create reasonable suspicion. Right. But that's a case where, you know, if in the course of a valid border search, the agents do find child pornography, which happens surprisingly frequently, you see it's disturbing, you can certainly prosecute on that basis.
Well, to my understanding, there's different laws at the border. Like, the border police can do what the fuck they want. Like, if they don't like the color of your tie,
right,
they can pull you over and search your car.
Right. They could do whatever they want, but it cannot be admissible in court unless you can prove that there's reason to search somebody other than you felt like it. There's got to be some sort of reason.
If a border police thinks you're smuggling drugs across the border, and they pull you over and they search and they find drugs, do they need probable cause?
Sure they do.
I don't know.
Sure they do. You can't just say, you look like a black crack cocaine dealer, so I pulled you over. I mean,
all you got to say is I smelled something. That's it.
Sure.
Who's to say that you didn't?
Of course. There's video cameras. And there's audio cameras there. So you can't just make shit up because now everything is recorded, right? So check this out. So the cornerstone of the American free speech tradition says that speech cannot be banned unless it's likely to produce imminent lawless action, all right? Unlike Europe, which allows the banning of hate speech really because it offends the dignity of a group, you have to prove that someone both intends to and is likely to have the effect of stirring up a crowd and actually leading others to kill. So that's what makes conspiracy of terrorism cases so hard. It's simply expressing support for an organization likely to lead to imminent violent action. And it's very hard to prove in many cases, right? So in the government's closing statement, they said this. They said, this is yelling fire in a crowded theater times 1,000 or 1,000 steps beyond that. So there was the argument that this was, you know, the speech was dangerous. I think, and beyond that, they had these examples of things he'd done in real life. And as then there's the question of our internet searches. Is that speech? Or is it action, right? Is that speech or is that action when you're searching for things online? Then, of course, so it's core speech if it's like going to a bookstore and browsing. And the right to read anonymously is at the heart of freedom of thought and our ability to decide how many of our thoughts, sensation, and emotions are communicated to others. And this guy who I read the article says, according to my hero, Justice Brandeis was at the core of both the right to privacy and the First Amendment. On the other hand, you can also use a Google search to find the murder weapons. And that's why this is right at the core of both of these things. So check this out. Interestingly enough, Google itself claims that its search algorithm is speech, right? And has used that claim to resist efforts to regulate it by, for example, the Federal Trade Commission against potential antitrust violations. So Google thinks that the algorithm itself and how it ranks search results is at the core of what the First Amendment protects, including people who use that to do First Amendment protected activity. You know what I'm saying? So what's interesting is this. So it's very hard to criminalize fetishistic fantasies, and it raises deep First Amendment issues. And it's interesting that the times when Congress has tried to criminalize fantasy and fetish overtly, it's run into First Amendment problems. I think of the federal law banning crush videos. Anyway, that's something else. But this guy, I want to say this one thing, we can move on. They really appeal to the jury to defend the right to have fantasies. That's the defense. I thought that case was made more compellingly by the government at the end of the government closing statement. The assistant U.S. district attorney said, described some of Gilberto Valle's fantasy and said, you know, these fantasies are not okay. And that's where that's where the fine line goes in. When is a fantasy okay and when is it not? When is a fantasy, you know, borderlining on criminal activity? And when is a fantasy, you know, deemable criminal activity by the government? Does the government have the right to say that fantasy is okay or that fantasy isn't?
I don't think that anything that you think or feel, or, you know, if this guy just stayed on the fucking site, didn't search anybody, didn't email these guys outside of the confines of that fetish site, because that's what it's for. I mean, there's a disclaimer in the very beginning of the page. They said, right, that this site is specifically for that. You know, if he just kept it to himself, that's a fantasy. A fantasy is some shit that you keep to yourself. Maybe you whisper it to a friend of yours or whatever. I don't know. You can't really bring that into court or something like that. But when you start acting on it and doing searches and doing and stuff like that, I'm sorry, but that's kind of setting the groundwork for some shit. Now, should he get life in prison or anything like that? I don't think so. I think that you should be on some sort of a fucking watch list. I think that they should fucking put a tag on you and say, well, you know, you've got 2 years of probation now because you're starting to get a little psychotic. Clean your shit up. Go to therapy. Now you have state mandated therapy.
Go to therapy.
Seriously. Go to therapy.
So check it.
I agree to that. I agree to just fucking kill
check
him.
It.
But,
check
but.
It. So he was.
We gotta appease everyone else.
So he went to jail for life, right? He was convicted, and then just Tuesday, 2 days ago, right? Judge Paul Gardeffi ruled that there was insufficient evidence to support a jury's guilty verdict in the kidnapping conspiracy conviction of Gilberto Valle. His lawyers had argued that the alleged plots were really fantasy online role play that never put anyone in harm's way. In his 118-page opinion, Gardeffi said, the evidentiary record is such that it is more likely than not the case that all of Valle's internet communications about kidnapping are fantasy role play. So he was released, with time served. What's interesting about this is, as Rich mentioned, he actually went into he illegally accessed a law enforcement database, and that only holds a misdemeanor count. That right there,
that's ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous because that's
a misdemeanor.
Well, that's an actual, a real thing that he did.
Right.
That's one of the real things that he did. That's a violation of the law and people's rights. Mm-hmm. And that's a misdemeanor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
let me say this,
please,
one more thing.
Please.
Is that, you know, back in the day, up until the 60s, I think a little bit more in this article or whatever about it. But,
right. You
know, if you were a pickpocket at the turn of the century, 1900s, and there was nothing, you get caught and you were trying to pick a pocket and there was nothing in that pocket, you were free to go.
Right.
That's so.
Because the crime wasn't committed.
There was no because there was no potential for a crime.
Right.
And that lasted up, you know, they started tightening shit up in the 60s, and then it progressively got better.
The person was not prosecuted on the intent to do it, even though it was real. He actually put his hands in somebody's pocket.
And if there was nothing there,
that's a little different, because this guy actually did not do anything. They didn't find him tying any women. They didn't find him.
I get it, but
they didn't find chloroform. He said he ordered chloroform. They didn't find chloroform.
What I'm saying is that they're going to start tightening that up as more and more of these things start to surface.
Yeah.
They're going to start to say, well, it wasn't. Well, it was preliminary intent.
Yep.
You know, there should be steep fine, but there should be.
This is a public service announcement to Dark Mark and all the people on the show.
You know, get that shit out of your ass before you go to jail.
Keep your hands in your pocket, and if you go to these fucking, I'm gonna fuck you in the ass and cook you and smoke you on Thanksgiving websites, be careful, because you're being watched, and Google and Facebook and even Twitter to some degree have to turn over any information that they have if the law deems it probable.
Please do not turn your wife and your child into a turducken.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, whatever happened to just holding hands, you take a girl to the movies, maybe you make out on a park bench. Yeah. Why can't you have normal fantasies?
Yeah.
For all you people out there that are trying to dress in latex and dungeons, you want to hang yourself upside down by your testicles, this is what you do. We take you to the mall, we take you to a strip mall, park you outside the Forever 21 in the Jamba Juice.
Right,
we
right.
line you up and we kill you as an example to all of the kids. This
Who
is what
want
happens.
To have those fantasies.
All you 50 Shades of Grey people, all you people shoving things up and in and around. You're ridiculous.
in front of Forever 21.
A girl's shirt, like you were happy, you were content. I got a hand job. I can stop now. I can go back to watching.
Yeah.
You know, the television, late night television.
Yeah,
people are
exactly.
Just ridiculous. Enough of these fantasies, you people. Get a life. Get a life. All right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of real issues in life that if you really
want
to stand for something, there's, you know, volunteer.
Volunteer.
At a homeless shelter.
Hand out sandwiches to the homeless.
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Use
that. Hug somebody.
Use your energy, your fetishist and your fantasy.
Go to the zoo.
Yeah, go to the zoo,
A zoo fetish.
Right, save a bag.
Have a fetish about taking a family to the zoo.
Do something
useful.
Yeah, recycle, man.
Recycle
right.
Fetish.
Share a shower. You know what I mean? Save water.
Normal.
Yeah.
Just be a normal human. Quit being a freakazoid.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking
of freakazoids, moving right along
nice
to our
segue.
Next topic.
Well, the next topic has to do with some more of our freedoms, right? So,
because you know us at Nestorius Public Radio, we're the first line of defense for the freedom of the United States of America and the people. We're out here for y'all.
Boston mad cops of flavor, man. You know, you're sitting at home, man, fantasizing about putting a gerbil up the bunghole. You know, there's other things you can be doing with your time, man. Focus on the positivity of the freedom that has been given to you as a result of our forefathers fighting for your liberty.
Just be normal. Just be normal.
Yeah.
Can you try that?
Yeah.
Can you try just
anyway,
being normal?
Week, this past week, in a deeply divisive case pitting advocates of religious liberty against women's rights groups, the Supreme Court said today that for-profit corporations with sincerely held religious beliefs do not have to provide a full range of contraceptives at no cost to their employees pursuant to the Affordable Care Act.
Yes, Hobby Lobby wins a contraceptive ruling in the Supreme Court.
Right.
So, you know, you have these corporations. Well, you have the Affordable Care Act, which some people call Obamacare, but it's really called the Affordable Care Act, which states that you have to provide contraceptive
healthcare,
science.
But contraceptive is under healthcare, right?
Yes. That you have to provide, as part of the healthcare package, that women can get things like IUDs, birth control pills,
so here's
morning
the thing.
After pills.
So here's the thing that I have a problem.
Turkey basters.
There's a couple of points here. There's a couple of points when reading this, right? Because there's a sexist situation, right? So there's healthcare. A lot of healthcare benefits include Viagra. Right, so it's okay for a man to use sexually enhancement drugs, but it's not okay for a woman to get contraceptives or even in some cases mammograms or pap smears. They're not covered, and so there's that sexist issue that goes on, and that's been going on since the late 90s.
When you get Viagra, you know the reason why they give Viagra is because it promotes childbirth. You know, I mean, and it promotes so. You can get
that's
Viagra.
One argument.
Snort
that's
it.
One
if you
argument.
Snort it,
that's,
it goes
you know.
Great at parties.
No,
well,
but see, that's
one argument.
That's extra pro-life.
Well, here's
because
the issue
you're
here.
Giving people who shouldn't have kids.
Here's the issue here.
Kids.
The Affordable Care Act, right? Versus the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. This is the issue here.
Well, really, another thing that's the issue.
Let me just say, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act says that you don't have to do anything if you feel it violates your religious beliefs, right? So these two companies, right, for instance, you said it was, what was the company you said?
Hobby Lobby.
And what was the other company?
Conestoga
Wood Specialties. Okay,
a cabinet making.
So here you got you have the Hans and the Greens. They believe that providing the coverage demanded by the HHS regulation, right, is connected to the destruction of an embryo in a way that is sufficient to make it immoral for them to provide the coverage. That's the argument.
So it's the abortion issue, but also it's religion against women. You know, if you really think about it, religion sucks if you're a woman. I mean, it's kind of a male-dominated, you know, male-centric thing.
Of course.
You know, women are shamed. Women are this, you know.
Religion sucks when it comes to women. Corporate America sucks when it comes to women. Equal rights sucks when it comes to women. Women have always been put down and been treated as inferior citizens of our society.
But we're better than Afghanistan, so that's okay.
Well, that's one of the arguments that you can say we're better than Afghanistan, but, you know, we're in a progressive society. We're in a modern
age. We should be a lot further along. We really should be
a lot further along. My personal beliefs is this, right? Why should the burden of contraceptives be put on the employer? Shouldn't that be something health planning, family planning? Shouldn't that be something that you, as an American, should be responsible for? You know, as a man and a woman, shouldn't that be something that you should take responsibility
for? You can say the same thing about
any
health care.
Okay, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of women out there that, if they had a child, there would be some severe medical complications, okay. I.e., tumors.
Okay.
And it falls under a preventative health issue.
So why does that guy have to ejaculate inside the woman? Why can't he pull out like the old prehistoric time?
Because he really does run this country. We don't have to pull out.
Because the men run the country. They don't want
to
pull out.
We don't want to have to pull out. Let the burden be on the woman. Make her fucking have an IUD.
Pull out. He pulls out. He takes off. He leaves her with the kid. I mean, how many women out there are raising kids on their own because of some douchebag guy that... He was there for the sex, and then he left for everything else.
Well, that's the other aspect, right? So is this an individual issue? Is this like a woman, an individual woman's issue, or is it a societal issue, right? So you got two issues in addition to what I posed, right?
Well, I'll give you another issue. This is science versus religion.
This is my issue. And
so
this,
you said, Rich, that health-wise, a woman may have a side effects that could cause her death or complications or whatever. The other issue is, so a woman cannot afford to have another kid, right? So she gives birth to a kid. The kid is given up for adoption. The kid grows into the foster care system.
Next thing you know, he's on dark fetish sites.
Right. The statistics of children growing up in foster homes, as you know, is not that great. The success rate of that, as you know, look at all those dark fetish sites, like you just said. Most of them are probably there, right? No, joking. That wasn't funny.
Well, here's what
you don't want to piss off the fetish coalition.
That wasn't funny.
You don't want to piss off the fetish coalition because they'll come knocking on the door.
I personally find the fetish industry very interesting and amusing. What I don't find amusing is this issue when it comes to women's health rights versus men's health rights. And that's one of the issues.
That is a big issue. Let me just say this, and you're a business owner, okay?
Yeah.
And you know that businesses, are treated as individuals. They have the same rights as individuals.
Businesses. Yes, of course.
And that's the that's really the problem because a business doesn't give a shit about religion or any of that, but the owners or the board or whoever imposes this whole religious, a business should have nothing to do with somebody else's. That's like, if that's an individual, then they're encroaching on somebody else's.
Yeah, but in this case, those two businesses, the owners strongly are pro-lifers. They strongly are against any kind of abortion. And some of these medications are proven to be able to be used to kill an embryo during a certain time of the life cycle.
They're also encroaching on somebody else's rights.
Sure.
You know, that's why separation of church and state.
We have a caller. Yeah. Hi, caller.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
My name is Shira.
Hey, Shira.
I just want to say I agree with everything that you're saying. And also, you know, I used to work for Planned Parenthood with their litigation project, which has been bringing these kinds of litigations for many years.
Uh-huh.
It's not just religious employers who refuse to cover contraception. It's also just a lot of insurance programs that just refuse to cover it, saying that pregnancy is not a disease and this is a preventative care issue.
Pregnancy is a disease if you're talking about an uneducated Puerto Rican. That's a disease, okay? Trust me.
Yeah,
we need to nip that shit in the butt, okay?
Right.
Like right at the embryo.
Exactly, and this is basic women's health. There are studies that show that 98% of even Catholic women use birth control or use contraception at some point in their life. So this religious argument is such a red herring.
Right.
The Catholic Church wouldn't even know what an embryo was if it wasn't for the scientific movement and the scientific revolution that they have been fighting tooth and nail since its inception.
Since Galileo,
good
point.
Know what implantation was.
Right.
So how can they say that that's a fundamental belief of their religion?
Right. So why do you think then, since you have a little experience there with Planned Parenthood and the litigations, obviously, why do you think other insurance plans do not want to pay for contraceptives and birth control and stuff like that, if it's not just religion? Why do you think that's the case?
I think that there is a pervasive and longstanding basic hatred of women and women's mm-hmm. bodies and reproductive abilities that runs as a current in our history.
Interesting.
And it's certainly powerful in religion, but since the beginning of time, you know, men and men's institutions have been trying to control the means of reproduction, just as they've been trying to control the means of production. It's where all these laws originated about marriage and
right.
no sex outside of marriage. It's where all the laws come from, so they can know who their heirs are, to inherit their property. So this is the legacy that these laws are coming out of.
Right.
And I think it's just a fundamental, people don't really see women's health issues and women's bodily autonomy the way they see men.
So
that's how they can rape women. That's how they can beat their wives.
Yeah.
The leading cause of death.
Wait a minute. Is it against the law to beat your wife now? Because I thought that was still in play here. You can't
well,
do that?
Only because of the women's movement of the past few decades is it illegal to beat your wife.
Yeah, okay.
The rule of thumb is a reference to the fact that it used to be legal in the U.S. to beat your wife with something as thick as your thumb.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, if your wife is caught browsing your internet history, she should be beat. Yeah, she should be beat. I mean,
right.
She has no business. And, you know, furthermore, men should be beat if you allow your wife to share the password for your browsing history. So if you're a man, you should be taken outside and beaten by your dog's ball sack. That's what I think should be happening. No, but also, exactly. In all seriousness, I agree with you. I think that women are treated inferior to men when it comes to a lot of rights, but especially these health rights. And I don't think that's right. And I personally, I don't think that men should have any say in abortion or birth control or women's reproductive issues. I don't think men should have any say in that, because men do not have to experience any of that. I mean, firsthand.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they experience the ramifications and the actions as a result of that, but it's a woman's body. I think women should have a say in that.
Absolutely. So we can, I mean, thank God for the notorious RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and her powerful dissent in this decision to show us the way, you know.
Yes,
well,
yes.
Do you think that this ruling falls under the, you know, the right of freedom of religion?
I mean, it does. Interestingly, the case is really based on the statute and not on the Constitution's grant of freedom of religion. But, of course, that's how they framed it. But, of course, you know, I think the lie of the whole decision really comes out where they talk about other religions' views, and they say, you know, this is only a decision as far as contraception. It won't apply to things like immunization, which, quote,
right.
may be supported by different interests.
Right.
For example, the need to combat the spread of infectious disease, like, i.e., interests that we as a country care about. This
what?
Decision will prevent. Because there's religions that don't believe in vaccinations. There's religions that don't believe in anesthesia. There's religions that don't believe in blood transfusion.
You're sounding a little warbly. What internet service do you have? Because we need to call them right now.
I'm calling on my phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you got AT&T.
Yeah. So how easy?
Okay, now you sound better.
So how easy do you think it would be for other companies? Let's say a Muslim company who believes certain that women need to be covered up, or a Christian Science religion to easy is it going to be to extend to that?
I mean, this is what Ruth Bader Ginsburg says in her dissent, which is that if you really take the court at its word.
Tell us who Ruth Bader Ginsburg is. Tell us who she is.
Oh, the notorious RBG.
Yeah, the notorious RBG.
She is a former law professor at Columbia University.
She.
He.
She, dude.
Oh, she.
Ruth.
No,
Ruth.
I thought she said he. I thought it was
no,
she.
No.
Ruth, go ahead. Well, she wrote a 118-page dissent after this thing, after the Supreme Court.
Dude.
Ruth, yeah.
Pissed off, man.
Yeah.
Her career was in women's rights and building the foundations of, sex discrimination law at the ACLU.
Right.
Before she was nominated to the court. So this undoes a lot of her life's work.
Right. Well, this is what she said. This is a little summary of what she said, right? In her dissent, Ginsburg disagreed with Alito, who's the judge that ruled for the Religious Act, disagreed with Alito and worried about what other challenges might come next. Reading the act expansively, as the court does, raises a host of Me Too questions. Can an employer in business for profit opt out of coverage for blood transfusions, vaccinations, antidepressants, or medications derived from pigs based on the employer's sincerely held religious beliefs opposing these medical practices? I mean, that's just one aspect. This, if they can get away with this, then what next, right?
Here's another thing, too. I mean, when we're talking about religious beliefs and what the government does based off religious beliefs, I think if you did a show of hands, I think the majority of Americans would say that the Iraq war is against their religious beliefs. That going over there and carpet bombing other human beings just so certain corporations can make money, sending our troops
Starbucks
off
over there.
Or not supporting our troops when they come home. I think most people would think that's against their religious beliefs, but we don't get a say in that.
And we don't do anything about it. Most people do not do anything about it. You know why? Because there's no app for it. Because the iPhone doesn't have an app for that.
That's a good point.
Because in life, everything has come down to an app.
We need a lobbyist app.
Yeah.
We need an app that just is directly, that'll go to the steps of the Supreme Court for us.
Well, listen, thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you guys. Talking about this.
Yeah, your insight was very, very helpful and it enhanced our conversation. So thank you.
Thank you guys.
Have a happy 4th of July.
Hey, you guys too.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Use contraceptives, man. Prevent the proliferation of ignorance across America.
I mean, I think the worst part of why this country's going downhill is just the religious people are the ones that are having all the kids. And then their kids grow up and they're all freaks and weirdos.
Hold on a second. I just want to say something. We do complain a lot about issues in this country, right? But I do want to say I am proud to be an American. I mean that sincerely. I'm proud to be an American citizen. I could have been born anywhere else in the world, but I was born here and in New York, no less. I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful that after this show, one of our biggest challenges is going to be, where are we going to eat, right? Should we eat a burger? Should I get that burger medium rare? Do I have to have it well? I mean, I think that a lot of our meaning Rich, Simon, and myself, our issues are minute in comparison to those of a lot of people all over the world and
all over the world
and in our country.
All over the world.
Just because we criticize or put our country under a microscope doesn't mean we love it. I mean, we're just popping zits.
Or doesn't mean we don't love it.
Exactly. Right. That's what I said. Yeah, it doesn't mean we don't love it. We're just popping zits. We're inspecting and magnifying our face.
We're doing nothing but popping zits.
That's what we're doing.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
We're just provoking thought.
Yo, we ain't doing nothing but popping zits.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? So, Rich, we have a little bit of time. You read to me this fucking, like, bizarre article. And what's bizarre is that I believe every little bit of it. So, first of all, where'd you get this article from? Because I want people who listen to this to the podcast to be able to refer to it if they want. It's actually a very interesting article.
Well, if you just Google three-year-old remembers past life, identifies murderer. If you just type, I know that's kind of long.
Three-year-old remembers past life and identifies murderer.
You'll find it on the Epoch Times. That'll be the one.
E-P-O-C-K. E-P-O-C-H.
Epoch Times. Is that how you spell it? Epic?
Is that how you pronounce it? Epic? I always thought it was Epoch. It doesn't matter. It's
Epoch Chopra.
It's E-P-O-C-H. Go ahead, Rich. Kick it.
So, this is really interesting. There was a three-year-old boy in the Golan Heights region near the border of Syria and Israel. Mm. And he said that he was murdered with an axe in his previous life. He showed the village elders where the murderer buried his body. And sure enough, they found a man's skeleton there. He also showed the elders where the murder weapon was found. And upon digging, they did indeed find the axe that he got hit in the head with. That's some crazy shit.
So, it's not about your life. It's also about your past life that's being interrogated.
Now, there's a book where this is from, Children Who Have Lived Before, Reincarnation Today, by a German therapist, Trutz Hardo.
Spell and that.
It's T-R-U-T-Z Hardo.
Trutz.
Trutz.
Okay.
Trutz.
Hardo, H-A-R-D-O.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he tells this boy's story along with other stories of children who seem to remember that. Now, the boy was of the Druze ethnic group. And in his culture, the existence of reincarnation is accepted as fact. His story, nonetheless, has the power to surprise his community. Okay, so he was born with a long red birthmark on his head. Mm-hmm. The Druze believe at some other cultures that birthmarks are related to past life deaths. So scan your body. If you've got a birthmark, maybe you died. Like I got a birthmark under my chin. Yeah. So maybe somebody popped me under my chin.
I got one right under my armpit. I think I was injected with some serum. You know what I mean?
So when the boy was old enough to talk, he told his family he had been killed by a blow to the head with an axe. It's customary for elders to take a child at the age of 3 to the home of his previous life, if he remembers it. The boy knew the village he was from, so they went there. When they arrived in the village, the boy remembered the name he had in his past life. A village local said the man the boy claimed to be the reincarnation of had gone missing 4 years earlier. Now, that's some crazy shit.
So, hold on. So, the kid is 4 years old.
He's three.
Three. So, like, 4 years prior to that, missing. His prior life, whoever he was, let's call him Mr. X, had died, suppose, mm-hmm. or went missing.
Yeah.
And around that time, apparently, according to the kid, he died.
And they didn't give him much thought because, you know, they thought, oh, maybe he's strayed into hostile territory. It sometimes happens. It's, you know, it's an aggressive area.
Yeah, you get you're dead, whatever.
So the boy also remembered the full name of his killer, which is amazing. But
George W. Bush?
He got a carpet bomb in his head.
Yeah, good.
When he confronted this man, the alleged killer's face turned white. Lash told Hardo this.
But wait a minute. They live in a part of the world that they're pretty much white looking. So it turned whiter.
No, they're not. No. Okay. You're talking Syria, on the Syrian border, and these people are of the Druze ethnicity.
Got it. Darker skin. Continue. Continue, Rich. Yeah.
So, but he didn't admit to the murder. The boy then said he could take the elders to where the body was buried. In that very spot, they found a man's skeleton with a wound to the head that corresponded to the boy's birthmark. They also found the axe, the murder weapon. Faced with this evidence, the murderer admitted to the crime. So
the moral of the story is if you murder somebody, don't be stupid enough to bury the axe and the body in your backyard.
Yeah, just don't do it in the Golan Heights.
Right?
Okay?
And if you are planning a murder, keep it to fantasy in the Dark Mark fucking fantasy forum. Okay? So
I don't believe that, though, man. I don't know. I mean, well, I would need to see something more credible. I mean, I believe in life after death. I believe in a lot of that stuff. But who's to say? I mean, you know, some kid comes back. He knows all this stuff.
Well, the guy admitted to it.
Okay, so
the guy admitted to doing the crime.
So hold on.
I don't know if I believe this article.
You don't believe it?
By Epoch Times. It could have been Tupac Times.
Okay, you know, the book. I mean, he wrote a book.
Well, it could have been Biggie Small.
How hard is it to write a book?
It could have been the Biggie Small Chronicles.
He was a noted German therapist.
Right.
Who cares?
So tell me the name of the book. Tell me the name of the book.
They're a therapist that deny the Holocaust. They write books. What's that mean?
Tell me the name of the book.
Children Who Have Lived Before, Reincarnation Today.
Maybe it's worth taking a look at that book. You know, just to see what other cases there were. So before we go and wrap up on this episode of freedom of speech, freedom of axes, and freedom of fantasy, there's this new thing, this hashtag free the nipple. So this is interesting. So there was this bikini top it's a bikini top, like a bathing suit top, that has realistic looking areolas and nipples on them. So when you look afar, the woman looks topless and naked. So it's called the Tata top, T-A-T-A top. And
ta-ta-ta-ta.
So if you want to exercise If you want to exercise your freedom to show your nipples anywhere in this country, right? Even if it's illegal to be topless and in the nude.
If you just want to fuck with the beach patrol.
Without breaking
the law.
Without having to pay for the ramifications of the nudity laws in your local state. There it is.
The top.
You know what I mean? You got a fetish. Why don't you have a fetish? The top.
That's the
next
rapping.
Week, guys, our guest is going to be the reincarnation of Michael Jackson.
Oh, shit. Anyway, that concludes this episode. I believe this is episode 53 of Nestorius Public Radio.
Wow, that's a year.
Yeah, tune in every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, tell a friend of yours, and drug them. Drug that friend, put a sock in his mouth, and abduct them, and make him tell other friends to subscribe to the show. Check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/Nestorius Public Radio. It is the 4th of July. Play safe. Explode shit in your living room. You know what I mean? Fuck something up. And, you know, be happy that you're an American. We out.
Me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way long. Ow.